You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
That's the business done, and now we want to do kingdom business. We are starting a series today, and the series is called In God We Trust. And so today's going to be part one. So I'm going to say this to you, is that you're going to get a word today a word of God. I'm going to preach today. You're going to be blessed. But I'm telling you, you need to come next week. You need to come next week. If you only come today, you're only getting the first half. And today is more of the foundation. You can kind of get the flavor of where I'm going. But next week, we're going to be believing God. We're going to be praying for people. We're going to believe God for breakthrough. Listen, we are, the Wandsworth Church. We're in the Wandsworth Borough. We specifically named ourselves Wandsworth because within Wandsworth, there's two in, there's Battersea, there's, other areas. But we said we're having the whole borough. How many know that's the vision we've got? The whole borough, that's the whole vision we've got. And so, you know what? That's it. You can do whatever you want to do anywhere else, but this is Wandsworth. And also what it is, we live in one of the most expensive boroughs. And so what that means is that if we're going to do anything, we need resources. But not only as a church we need resources, you need resources. As an individual, you need resources that you can still stay. There's no point of, it's going to be very difficult that, you're going to have to move, 50 miles away and still attend the church here because, you can't afford to live here. I believe that as God has placed us here, He's given us the vision here, then you know what? We can experience supernatural financial breakthrough. Some of you are like, what's going on here? Listen, God is able to do all things. And so this is my vision that, God has placed me here. He will give me the resources to do what I need to do here. And so finances and money is a big part of our life. That's the reality. How many know most of us work? You should work. If you're a man here, you should be working or working towards working. Amen. And so that means most of our day is taken up with working. Most of our day is about making money. And so that's a big part of our life. So we can come into church and be like, well, we're not into that. We don't care about that. Come on. Let's keep it real. But we need to understand where is it placed within our Christianity? Where is this within our life with God? And so I name this series In God We Trust because, it's kind of playing on a theme where I believe it's on the dollar. It's not on the pound, I don't think it is, but I didn't look. But I know it's on the dollar, In God We Trust. And so it's on the money, but how many know that really and truly, just because they ride it on the money doesn't mean it's in your heart? And so our anthem, no, it is In God We Trust. Deuteronomy 8 verse 18 says this: You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth. Amen. He gives me the ability to gain wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your anointing. We pray, Heavenly Father, for supernatural breakthrough. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us, free us, Father, from just the system of this world, Father, that was drag us down. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would be your people, Father, and that we would be blessed. We would be the head, not the tail. We would see your blessing upon our lives, Father, that we would know how to abase. But Father, we also want to experience some abounding. And I ask you this in accordance with your word. And most of all, let Jesus be magnified, glorified, because He is our highest treasure. And all God's people said,
amen.
And so next week, we will be taking our kingdom pledge. We do this every year. And so this is where we say, you know what? Above and beyond our tithes, we're going to make a 6 months pledge of what we want to give to God. Because we're going to believe that as we give, the Bible says, as you sow, you shall reap. And so we're believing God. Last year, many people committed to that, saw jobs, saw finances, saw breakthrough. And so we're going to be doing that next week. And so come out to that. But let's jump straight into this. In God we trust. I want to ask you a question today. What are you putting your trust in? What are you putting your trust in today? Because many people, they put their trust in money. Now, let me just start with this. Money is not evil. Money is not evil in itself. Money is not evil in itself. And so the Bible, you know, many people quote the scripture, misquote the scripture. I've expounded this before, where they will speak from 1 Timothy 6. And, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. But many people misquote it as in money is the root of all evil. Well, that's a misquotation. The Bible didn't say money is the root of all evil. The Bible says the love of it. That's what it is. And so money is not evil in itself. Let me tell you this now, and let's just get to the chase. Money can solve a lot of problems. Let's just keep it real. Money can solve a lot of problems. Let me speak. If right now you're starving, right now you've got no food, you've had no food all day, all yesterday, maybe the day before, you're starving right now. Can I say money could solve that problem? You never had no money. Someone could give you £10, or someone could say, let me take you Nando's and they could hook you up. Or let me take you to Asda's and you know what? We're going to buy you a week's worth of shopping. How many of that would solve your problem? That would solve your immediate problem. So money can solve problems. Let's not be super spiritual now. I could be like, yeah, you know what? Boss, I haven't eaten for 2 days. Okay, let me pray for you. Father, I just come against these hunger pains. Listen, no, they need some money. They need some food. If you are homeless, you have nowhere to live. You have nowhere to live. You're homeless. You're without shelter. It's getting cold. You're on the side of the street and all of that. And listen, if someone came and said, look, there's £100,000. That would solve your problem. That would solve your problem. That money would solve that problem. Health sometimes. Money could open doors. You hear times when people are on waiting lists and trying to get to see doctors and this and that. But if you had limitless resources, you could maybe open the door to some of the finest physicians. And there's no waiting list. There's no nothing like that. You just go and you do this and you do that. It could open doors. It could help you with your health. Money could solve that problem. Can I say to you today, and this may even push back on some of you, money can bring some happiness. Money can make people happy. You know, all of those situations that I've just spoke about, you could come along if you had the resources and you could help those people and you would actually give them some happiness. Someone who's starving, say, hey, here's £10, let me help you. Someone who's starving, I remember seeing this, we was in a hotel or on an airplane or somewhere, and we saw this thing about this program, and there was this woman, and her and her husband had adopted all of these children. They had about 4 children themselves. They adopted, there was a white American couple, and they adopted about another 4 or 5 African children. They had come from a nation which was struggling, war-torn, and so she had brought them into a house, so she got this massive house. They had this house and they were all living together, and then I think she was getting sick or the husband died or something like that, and so now she couldn't take care of the house, and the husband was there, all of the, and the house was just a mess. It was just dilapidated. Things were falling apart. Bathrooms weren't, and so here she is, she's trying to help these children, and they're interviewing her. She's saying, you know, it's so tough, I feel sorry for these children, we took them to take care of them, and now look at the house, and they're going around the interviewing, and she's overwhelmed, she's sick, is that, and it's a problem. And they say, okay, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take your family to Disneyland. And they take all the family and they take them to Disneyland, and you see them on the rides and having fun. But while they're away, they're basically changing their house. They're building them a new house. They go in there, they knock down walls, they knock down this, they do that. They refurbish. And more than refurbish, they basically rebuilt them a new house. Everything was brand new, wooden floors. The boys had rooms and it looked like racing cars and all of this. And so they bring them back, the family, and they open, they bring them in a limousine, and they all get out and they see this house. And they're going crazy. They're just screaming, they're getting in the house, they're hugging, and they're crying. The woman is crying. The woman is broken. The woman is like, you know what? I couldn't believe it. I didn't know what I was going to do. Blah, 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 blah. And her life was changed because of money. Because of money. We can be here like, no, listen, pray for them. Listen, yeah, but money changed it. Yes. It made them happy. You can do things for people with money if you have money. Yes. You can. How many know it's nice to give people gifts? It's nice to do things to people. Hey, let me give you this. And wow. How many know that gives you a joy? But it gives them joy. When you see someone, my wife was telling me just today as we was coming to church that the story of there was a father and he had these sons. And so when he was young, he had like one of these sports cars and he sold it so that he could take care of his family. I mean, you start to have children and you start to become a father. You got to have responsibilities now. It's no good you rolling around in like the best car in the world and your family's living on biscuits. That's ghetto, man. Let me say this, that's ghetto. Listen, I don't care how big your ring, your chain, your car, your rims, and your family, your son, the mother of your child is starving. Is waiting in line for benefit. You ain't no benefit to society. You're a scourge, you're a slug, you're a waste, man. Rago, I will tell you straight, I'm not here to debate. That's what it is. If you don't like it, look in the mirror and just say, it's not his fault. Here is this man, he sells his car, like this sports car, takes care of his family. Years later, his sons are older now, and they say, you know what, we want to treat our dad. And they track down this car. And they find the car and they buy it for him. Like an old sports car and it's all done up. And so my wife was telling me, he's there, he's talking, he hears, hey, what's going on there? And he sees, hey, that's like my, huh? That is my car. And he breaks down, he's weeping. Because it must have cost them so much to get that car. It was in another part of America or another somewhere. Because listen, it's so good when you can give. If you can help people, see, money enables you to do that. Money enables you to show love. I'm not saying you can't show love without money, but money helps you to show love. Listen, ladies, if you're dating a brother and he don't want to spend no money on you. I heard a story about a couple. Thank God it's not in this church. Dating and the guy, you know, he goes and buys out a pair of jeans for like 100, 200 pounds. And he's out walking with his girlfriend. She says she's thirsty. He says, all right, let's not get it here. Let's wait till we get to the supermarket. We can save 10 pence. I would have said, listen, no. Let me just save you the whole pound. You better go your way, I'll go my way. You want to save? Yeah, you better save. You've just saved me a lot of trouble. If you don't want to spend no money on you, listen, because many times it's through you spending and it costs and you can do something for somebody to show your love. We understand that that's not the only way, but there is a part and parcel in this. See, the kingdom of God, we're talking about this business here, seeing souls saved, seeing the gospel preached. We can do a lot. If we have money, we can do a lot. This building costs us money. We do not, you know, Deeper Life Church, they bought this building. It cost them money. And they are gracious to us. They allow us to use their facilities. But we still do pay rent. They wouldn't be able to afford just to allow us to come in here and just use up all the resources. It cost us every flyer, the concert yesterday we had. We pay your gardens for that hall. Those lights, we had to purchase them. All of the little props that were bought, the patties. How many like the patties? Yeah. They have to be paid for. Yeah. Woo! Anymore? They have to be paid for. And so what we're saying is as the church has resources, can I say to you, when we started this church, we couldn't afford to use this facility. We've grown. We've, as people have come in and got saved and they give liberally, we can afford more. People, well, it'd be nice when we had our own building. Well, to buy a building in Wandsworth, you're talking over £1 million. Over £1 million. Do you know where that's going to come from? It's going to come from God, no? It's going to come from you. It's going to come from you and me. God has to bless us. We're waiting for God to come down. We come in one day, there's like a case. Pastor Courtney's name on it. Open. Hey! What I'm saying is that money makes the kingdom. We sent our church into Fulham. And you listen, God has been gracious with us with Fulham. God has been so gracious. That church is flourishing. Pastor Brandon and Elizabeth, they're doing an excellent job there. They some services, they're hitting 50 people. They're doing a tremendous job there. God is so gracious. But listen, it cost us money. I told you guys, that cost us 10 grand to start that church. And that's a cheap one. We paid for everything. We're paying for the equipment. We're paying for the concerts. We're paying for everything. Listen, we want more churches to be exactly like that. They just had their revival. They had revival with Pastor Pat Brick. All of these things, it costs. See, the Bible shows us this in Luke 10 verse 33. It says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he's talking about a guy that's been beaten and robbed and left for dead. He had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and set him on an animal, brought him to an inn, took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, that's money, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, that's money, when I come again, I will repay you, that's money. Now we know this as the Good Samaritan. Say, Good Samaritan. I mean, we've heard that. There's even an institution that has taken that name called the Samaritans. You can call them up and they're supposed to, you know, well, you know who they are. Amen. So think about it now. This guy's called the Good Samaritan. Now, Samaritan is where he's from. That's like his ethnic origin. That's who he is. So the word Samaritan is just like it could say English, Nigerian. It could be just, that's really what it is, just saying it. So we could be saying the good Nigerian or the good English or the good Jamaican. If I haven't mentioned your nation, I still love you. So really, what made him so good? Well, think about this now. If he never had no money, he'd be no good. Because he wouldn't have been going anywhere. Because he ain't got no job. He's on the dole, man. He wouldn't even have found the guy. And then if he had no money or no nothing, he would have found the guy and be like, boy, is there any pennies left? But he had a mule. He had a car. If he never had a car, how's he going to pick up the guy and take the guy anywhere? The Bible says he puts him on his mule, which is like having a car, and then he takes him to an inn. And then as he's caring for him, he leaves him at the inn and he gives the guy in the inn some money and says, listen, can you take care of him? And he says, listen, if it costs you more, I'll come back and cover it. Here is a guy that had resources. And we understand now that without resources, without something, listen, there is a limitation of what you can do. Yeah, you can pray. When you don't have resources, you can pray. You better pray. With or without finances. But the point I'm making here is that money can fix many problems. But money cannot fix all problems. Money can buy you a house, but it cannot buy you a home. You can buy a house, but in that house, there's tension, contention, there's warring, fighting. That's not a home. Listen, I would rather have a little house and make it a home than have a mansion and I'm warring, fussing and fighting. No, listen, you know what? You can have your mansion. Let me just cotch here. This is mine. Me and my wife can just chill here, man. And I'll have a good time. Money can buy you a clock or a watch, but it cannot buy you time. Cannot buy you time. Time is running out. Listen, no matter how rich you are a day closer to your death than you was yesterday. You are a day closer to your death today, right now, than you was yesterday. Money can buy you a bed, but it cannot buy you sleep. Money can buy you a book, but it cannot buy you wisdom. Money can buy you a doctor, but it cannot buy health. Money can buy position, but it cannot buy you respect. Money can buy you blood, but it cannot buy you life. Money can buy you sex, but it cannot buy you love. See, all of those things, really what it's saying is that money can fix only so much. I'll tell you where we get into big problems. We get into problems because we start to trust that money can fix all problems. Let me repeat that. We get into problems when you believe that money can fix, excuse me, all problems. 1 Timothy 6 verse 17 says this: command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, meaning prideful. So it's saying basically someone has some money, they're financially secure. It says don't become prideful. Don't start to carry yourself a certain way. Don't be like, yeah, you see what I got this year? Oh, did you know what this is? Yeah, this is Gucci. I only wear Gucci. Listen, if you just want to wear Gucci, you wear Gucci. You don't have to go around telling us. Amen? Yeah. I don't care what you wear. It's none of my business. But if you keep going around telling us, there's a problem. Because why do you have to tell us? At least pretend, let us find out. Wow. Oh, this whole thing? Oh, the G? I didn't realize what that stood for. Is that what it stands for? He says this: to trust in uncertain riches. He tells them not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let him do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. He says this, he says there are some people is that they start to trust in riches. Listen, you know when people start to trust in riches is they always make reference to money. Yeah. Everything is about money. When you make reference to money all the time, what it is you trust in riches. You believe that money will fix every problem. Yeah. You start to believe that you're trusting in finances, trusting in money. You're always making reference to it. Everything you talk about is always connected to money. Something in your heart is shifted. Something in your mind and your spirit is trusting in money. Yeah. When you've got to, you've always got to show, well, I've got to make money. Yeah, we've all got to make money. You're no different than anybody here. You know when you say to someone, yeah, but you need to serve. Yeah, I've got to make money though. Hey, why don't you come to, I've got to make money. Hey, you know, be careful of that. You don't want to get involved in that. I've got to make money. Yeah, we've all got to make money. You keep putting it, saying it, because you know what it is? You trust it. You think if you make it, your problems are solved. If the more money I make, my problems are solved. He says, do not trust in it. When you start to judge people by how much you make or they make. When you start to look at, you start to calculate, well, because they don't make as much as me, and I make more than them, and I can buy this and I can buy that. Can I say to you that the saddest thing about being poor is that when you get money, you're still poor-minded. If I'm honest, one of the things that I hate poverty. I grew up poor. I've told you guys, I've been in poverty and got saved, and God helped me in my career and really blessed me before I was a pastor. And you know, so, but I realized that if I'm honest, can I be honest? Time of confession. Let me confess to you guys, just between us. You don't need to tell nobody else. Part of me, there's a fear. I've seen God show, reveal to me. There's a fear in being poor. I don't want to be poor again. There's a fear. So I will work hard. You give me a job, you give me an opportunity, I work hard. I think all the time. I will make, yeah, I need to do that. When I was in my career, fear. And I remember God calling me into the ministry, and there was a resistance, like, boy, if I go into that, how am I going to live? And at that point, I have to say, what do you trust, Courtney? Who do you trust? Who do you trust? When money becomes your safety net, your strong tower. Can I say to you, the Bible says there are things that are better than money. Proverbs 4 verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom and all you're getting, get understanding. The Bible says the wisdom is more than better than money. We've heard many times about people that have won the lottery and become mad. You scratch your head. You think, how can you? You say someone won 10 million, 50 million, and within a year they're broke again. They're actually more broke because now they owe the government tax or something like that. You're like, you're mad. They should have done, you know, they should have just, you know, we should have just said, you want a million, let's do an IQ test. No, no, no. You get, there's 10,000 and then come back. But the Bible says wisdom. The Bible says that in Proverbs 22 verse 1, a good name is above chosen riches, above chosen rather than great riches. A good name, meaning that a testimony is better than riches. Listen, Christian, you need to have a testimony, man. This is the one, I can say amen to this. Proverbs 31 verse 10, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. Listen, the Bible says a good wife is better than riches. And all the married men say,
amen.
Amen. A good wife. You can see people that got money, millionaires, but they got some mad wife. Anyway, we're not even going to go there. Imagine being broke with a mad wife. That's double bad. But that's a whole other sermon. Matthew 16 verse... I've lost all the women now. I love you, sisters. Stay with me. Stay with me. Matthew 16 verse 26 says this. For what profit is there for man if he gives the world, if he was given the whole world and lose his own soul? Think about this now. Your soul is worth more than money. Your soul is worth more than money. Your soul. Your soul is worth more than money. How much would you give me for your eyes? How much would you give me for your eyes? How much would you give me for your eyes right now? If I said, listen, I've got £1 million, £2 million, £3 million. Give me your eyes. Most people would be like, listen, ain't no money worth my eyes, man. Amen? This is what some of you ain't sure. Some of you still thinking. Close it. Could I live like this? Yeah, I could. Yeah, well, maybe. Go higher. Go higher. Most of you for £1 million, £10 million, £100 million, £1 billion, you would not give me your eyes. But what will you trade for your soul? Your soul that lasts for eternity. That when you die, you will slide into eternity. And either you go to be with God in heaven or hell for eternity. What are you doing right now for money? Why are you saying, I can't serve God because of this? I can't be a Christian because of this? I can't be in church because of this? And it's money. Your soul is worth more. Let me say something here, and you know, this is kind of deviating from the trend that I'm going in my message. But imagine you live to be 80 and really you always struggled your whole life financially. You just struggled, you're kind of just making ends meet, and you get to 80 and then you die and you go into eternity and you go to be with God forever. And the Bible says that, listen, the very thing that we value and we think is like diamonds and gold and all of these things in heaven, they're just making lampposts out of that thing and making roads out of that thing. Guys are just like sweeping up gold, like, oh, sorry, let me get this out of your way. Pleasure upon pleasure upon pleasure. Joy upon joy upon joy for all eternity. But God, you know, God don't even ask us to do that, man. The Bible says that do not trust in uncertain riches. Do you know the word uncertain means untrustworthy? Imagine you saw someone, they're driving a car, and they pull up, and they've got a nice Mercedes, and they pull up, and they're driving erratically, and you're like, boy, are you going to mess this car up? You say, don't worry, it's not mine. Would you lend them your car? They're untrustworthy. Imagine you go around someone's house and you're in a house and they're opening fizzy drink and they're squirting it on the wall. Hey, you're going to mess up your house and the furniture and the carpet and it's nice. And they say, it's not mine. Would you trust them with your house? They're untrustworthy. The Bible says riches are untrustworthy. It's untrustworthy. You mean, no, once you got money. Listen, do you know how much money people lost this week alone because they invested in something that they thought was so sure? Volkswagen. How many read about that? Volkswagen. People are like, hey, Volkswagen is the biggest car manufacturer in the world. Most people, you ask them if they, you know, hey, I'd like a Volkswagen. I'd like an Audi. I'd like one of these. I'd like that. So we're like, yeah, that's a sure bet. That's a company you can invest in. You invested in it on Friday. 20% of the value went down. You couldn't even know because uncertain. The Bible told us, listen, do not put your trust in uncertain riches. 2007, people are like, oh, let's go buy a house, let's go do that. They buy a house then. 2008, 2009, that house is worth 20% less than it was. People can't even pay their bills anymore. People were taking out 120% mortgages with Northern Rock to buy this house. We can flip this. We're going to sell this in a year's time. We're going to make loads of money. 2008, they're coming and saying we're bankrupt. Jesus says this, Matthew 6 verse 24, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and mammon. The Bible shows, this is what the Bible says about us. He says, you got to be careful about money. I need to pick someone to help me. Okay, come up. He looked like, no, not me. Welcome. Stand here. How old are you now?
17.
Okay, solid unit. That's Roger's jeans, man. Hold that. What is that?
£20.
Well said. The Bible is telling us, listen, don't put your trust in money. Don't start to love money. Don't allow, because listen, when you see money as your security, money can lead you and guide you. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says that you cannot serve two masters. It says that money has the ability to become your master. Now, we've already proved the point. There is nothing evil in itself about money. There's nothing evil in itself. We've already showed money can do good things, natural good things, help people out, kingdom good things. Let the kingdom be built. But the problem is with this. Hold on, don't let it go. Hold on to it like that. That's right. The problem is this. Here is Caleb here, and so he's got his money. He's holding on to money. But the Bible says that a spirit of mammon can be attached to money. And this is what happens, is mammon, if you allow money to lead you, mammon gets the other side of it. Keep coming, follow me, because you don't want to let this go. And what happens is money starts to lead you places. See, money says, listen, if you come here and you give that person your bank account details, we can do some sort of 419 fraud thing, and money will lead you there. You're poor, someone says, hey, did you see that brother on the block? He's got like a new iPhone. Look, come, let's go rob his iPhone and we can sell it and buy crack or whatever. Money will lead you there. That's what it is, isn't it? People say, oh, you know what? Let's put this thing on, just lie on your application form. Because, you know, I know you got a Z, but a Z looks like an A. Money is leading you. You get a job and the job says, hey, listen, we want you to work Sundays and Wednesdays. You can have every other day off. Every other day. Money will, see, if you hold on to money, the problem is it's not the money, but it's who's holding the other side of it. Who's holding the other side of the money? How is the money leading you and guiding you and pushing you? See, how do we work this out? Let me get someone else. You come up now. You stay here. You're going to be the devil. Hold on to that money. The Bible says that we need to be a people that give to God. And so take the money out of his hand. Let go of it. No, the other way around. You just spoil my whole thing. So I'm going to be God. And so give your money to God. Hold on to it. Because you put God first and you give your money to God, it allows God to lead you. Amen. See, whose hands are you in? Now, we did that 2 weeks ago. It's not that. It's not that sermon. I'm not James Wilkins. Stay where you are. If you don't get that, go on our website. Listen 2 weeks ago and you'll get it. See, this is why the Bible speaks about when you're giving to God. that you allow God to lead you. Amen. You can have it. Go on, go. Go sit down. You get nothing. Go sit down. Listen to what the Bible says. Do not lay up treasures for yourself on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust can destroy, or where thieves do not break in or steal. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. See, one of the things you got to realize is God doesn't need our money. But God understands is wherever you put your money, your heart follows. This is why God says, listen, you give 10% to me first. Because that what it does is it says, listen, money don't control me. God controls me. Because wherever my treasure is, your heart would be. I could ask some guys to come up here and I could ask them to give me their wallets. And if this was your wallet, I'd be like, okay, yeah, think about this. Yeah, this is nice, man. You'd be worried about what I'm doing with it. You'd be looking at it because your heart followed it. Because where your treasure is, your heart is. You ever bought a new car? It might not be brand new, but it's new to you. When you get in, it's like, hey, there ain't no one eating in this car, man. No, it's raining. Let's eat outside. And then when you finish, you can come back in. Because you're like, this is my new car. Where your treasure is, where anything you're serious about. You know, most people when I was growing up, I never thought about house insurance. You start to buy a few things, you start thinking about house insurance. What if it goes wrong? See, when you had nothing, you didn't care about insurance. How many know that? You didn't care if someone breaking your house. Hey, they're coming to steal that, man, that biscuits, rich teas. Come in, they're coming, but my days, this dude ain't got nothing. You start to get a few things. Buy a nice, say, yeah. Buy a nice computer. Hey, I need to. What if someone breaks it? You're thinking now. Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Yeah. See, let me finish with this. Is that what the Bible tells us is we need to trust God. You know, you need to trust God. I said next week, I'm really going to talk about how God's blessing is upon us and how you step into the supernatural blessing of God. But before we even talk about God blessing us and we see just a supernatural provision of resources, finances. Listen, before God can give to you, he must teach you what to do. God is not limited here. God can bless you with job, with house, with car, with money. It doesn't cost him anything. He could give you anything. But you know what it is? Some people here, if God was to bless you, you would go nuts. You would lose your mind. You'd lose your mind. God gave you a job. You start getting like 50, 60, 70, 100,000 a year. God can do that. But some of you, we'd never see you again. We'd never see you again. You wouldn't even talk to us, man. You walk past and we see a junction, you walk past us. You try to shake your hand, you give us two fingers, shake those. And you just walk off. And that's why God is like, listen, this is the saddest thing that God says, I have to keep you poor to keep you in my house. God gives you a dream job, we'll lose you. God gives you a promotion, we've lost you. I don't want that to be my testimony. I want to be able to say, God, you can bless me, you can give to me, you can open doors. I will still be in your house serving you, loving you. Because I trust you, not uncertain riches. Psalms 13 verse 5 says this, but I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. You know what the psalmist is saying here? He's saying, listen, I trust God because of his mercy. See, do you trust his mercy over you? Can I say to you today, if God would give us Jesus, what would he not give us? If God would give us Jesus, why is he going to begrudge giving you 10 grand, 5 grand, 20 grand? If he would give you Jesus, why is he like, oh, no, you can have my son. You can have my only son. He will come and die for you. You know, God, I need a new car. No. Why would he do that? It makes no sense. He says this, I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. This man realizes that God loves him and is good to him and is merciful to him. This guy realizes that God has saved him and sent Jesus to die for him. And then he says, and I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully. That means that he has rewarded me over and over and over and over and over above what I deserve. He is such a blessing to me. The Bible says in Psalms 37 verse 25, I have been young and I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor their descendants begging bread. You know what he's saying? He says, I've been a young man and then I've been old and I have never seen anyone serve God go without. And I can say to you, I have been young and I'm still young. And I have never seen anybody forsaken by God who puts God first. I have never seen them. In the 20 years I've been saved, God, you know what the Bible is saying? Listen, you can trust him. Money goes up and down. Economies go up and down. If you're into economics here, you know that's built into the framework of economics. Boom and bust. Bear and bull markets. You know that's basically what it is. Boom, that's how it is. It goes up and down. But the Bible says that God is trustworthy. God will always keep you. God will never deceive you. God is a firm foundation. Doesn't matter what's going on around you, he will keep you. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5 verse 7, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Some of you here, you've become over worried about financial things. You've become over consumed. You're so anxious. And the Bible tells us not to be anxious for nothing. But because of finances, you are anxious all the time. How am I going to do this? How am I going to survive? What's going to happen about my future? What's going to happen about my house? What's going to happen about my job? What's going to happen about my education? Should I buy a property? Can I afford a property? All of these things, should I invest? And you're anxious. And the Bible says, cast your cares. Put your cares upon him. Trust him. You will find that he is a good investment. How do I do that? Does it mean that I do nothing? Can I just sit around and pray? No. It means a prioritizing. The Bible says, Matthew 6 verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. You know those things are? Clothes, food, house. The Bible says God, it's God's responsibility to take care of those things when you seek him first. It's God's responsibility. I don't need to fuss and fight about those things. It's God's responsibility. If I'm putting God first, then God puts me first. Did you know that's simply how it goes? Do you know what so many people do? They put God last. They're worried about those things. And those things, you may get them, but it comes with trouble. Comes with problems, comes with headaches, or it comes with spiritual decline. Do you know some people can fit that they can economically succeed but spiritually decline? Well, that's not winning in my books. That's not winning in my books. You just because you get more money but lose your soul, that's not winning in my books. I want to see you prosper in all things, in your body, in your spirit, and in your finances. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God. It's very simple. Put God first. Put him first. When you're making the... Is that righteous? Yeah. Okay, then invest. Do it. No, that's not... No, I can't do that. That's taking me away from God. I can't do that. The Bible shows us that God is a God of blessing and you need to trust him. See, really and truly, I've spoken about money and we've gone on and on and on. But can I say this? Really, what it all comes down to is, do you trust God? In God we trust. Matthew 6 verse 28, last scripture. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. That means that they don't work. And yet, I say to you that even Solomon, which was one of the richest men in all of his days, and when the queen came from a distant land to see, she said, we've heard a lot about you. They told us stories. It was so amazing that we had to come and see. And when we've come and seen, actually, we was only half the story was told. This is Solomon, richest man in his days. And the Bible says that not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. is saying that God decorates flowers. Think about this now. I'm not into flowers, really. You know, I'm not like I hate them like Christ. You know, but I'm just, you know, don't buy me flowers, you know. I buy my wife flowers, but I'm not into flowers. I'm not that guy, you know. Maybe there's some guys, I don't know. We're living in different times. It's the last days. But think about this now. God decorated the flowers. God creates roses and he's making them red and different shades. See, I can't even think of any other flower to think of colors. But anyway, you understand. Don't start shouting them out. I'll get confused. But think of all these flowers that are white, that are yellow, that are purple, that all blue. And all these flowers, God has decorated them. And he says, listen, he says, all of the clothing that we wear is just a representation of that. You want to buy nice clothes? It's copied from that. The colors that God already made. He made them. Some of you women here today, you've got a floral pattern. That's a pattern of a flower that God designed. We're like, oh no, but the designers. No, they've copied what God did. God is the ultimate designer. God is the ultimate designer. And it says this, that God is into design. And then we think, God says, now I'm just going to put a gray sack over you. That's it. That's all I care about. He says, no, if God dresses the flowers, why would he not want you to, why would he not want to dress you? Yes. If God would be into the flowers and into the detail and say, look, so we can enjoy the beauty of it, why would he then say, yeah, well, you know, I'm not going to provide for you. You just have to walk around, you know, in a sackcloth. See, that's how we think, isn't it? We think if we trust God, we're going to lose out. If I put God first, he's going to have me living in a cave, eating bread and water, wearing a sack. No, that's not God. The Bible says, listen, trust him. He wants to bless you. He wants to take care of you. He loves to take care of his people. He wants to bless you above and beyond. He wants to bless you just like any father wants to bless his children. You see a father, people love to dress up their children. They love to dress up the children, and children are wearing little, you know, Air Max. How many child don't care about no Air Max? Well, I'm not for it or against it. You work that one out with Jesus. But people like to dress up their children. They like to buy their children gifts. They like their children to look clean and nice because it's a representation of them. God wants to take care of us, church. You don't have to worry and think, oh, if I don't, yeah, I need to put the kingdom on the back. I know he said seek first the kingdom, but if I do that, I'm going to end up losing out. I'm going to end up living nowhere. And I need to put this first. No. Put the kingdom of God first and see God bless your life. Trust God. Trust God. In God we trust. I want every head bowed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.